Hey there, everyone. Welcome back to the channel. It is Denise Salcedo, and I'm very stoked to present to you my guest for today. He is a former three-time TNA World Tag Team Champion. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mike Santana. Mike, welcome back to the channel. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really good. You know, it's so nice to have you back on. I was just telling you off air, like it's been a minute since the last time I had you here on the channel, a totally different time. You know, you were still in a tag team and now you're out there, you know, doing your thing on your own. How are you feeling?
I feel better than ever. I mean, this is the most fun I've been having in my career. So I'm thankful and I'm grateful. And yeah, it's been a wild ride so far. So yeah.
I was going to say, man, there's so much to get into. And I guess I want to start off with, first and foremost, I want to say that I had the chance to watch your Immerse episode. And that just dropped right now for those of you guys who are watching. But I got a chance to preview the episode. And it's really deep, Mike. And it's something that you have, you know, spoken about now, but to get to see this this mini documentary and sort of watch your way from coming back, like basically coming back to TNA and getting to get into this program with Steve Macklin, you go right into it, but you talk about what you had been dealing with during this time. And so I just want to start off with, you know, how do you feel, you know, putting this story out there, having overcome this, and this being now, you know, part of your journey, part of who you are, and using that to basically just make your life stronger?
Yeah, it took a lot, you know, to be that open. And, you know, this is something that I've been learning, you know, just within the past year. You know, it's very one of the things I've learned throughout my life is that I've always been one to keep everything inside and, you know, to carry the weight of the world, so to say. And, you know, growing up, we were never taught to that it's okay to talk about certain things. And in turn, that was the biggest detriment to me because I held everything inside. And, but right now, like with telling my story, I felt like it was very important for people to know what my purpose is now. And what's my driving force? And also, like I said in a previous interview, like if I didn't get into wrestling, I always wanted to do something that was going to help give back to people and help people in general. And I realized that wrestling was my way of being able to do that. And I know that I have a very unique story and something that hopefully could touch people and help, you know, people grow and know that it's okay to struggle, but that it's also possible to come out on the other side better than ever. And yeah, that was my whole purpose for all this, you know, putting it out there and just showing what this new Mike Santana is all about.
Right. And there was a part in the documentary that I think, well, it definitely touched me. And I know that's going to touch a lot of people. And, you know, I know that usually when people are going through addiction and everyone always asks them, like, what changed? Was there a moment? And you talk about that moment in the Immerse documentary, basically saying that it was the moment your daughter said in her Santa letter that she wished that you would stop doing what you were doing. Yeah. And when you shared that, oh my God, I think I felt my heart sink where I was like, that is something that, you know, it's a really sad thing. But at the exact same time, like you said, it saved your life.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm thankful for that moment so much, you know, because like you said, it literally saved my life. And, you know, it's part of my story. It's part of my journey. And I felt like, you know, I needed to put it out there. You know, also another reason why I was so open in public with my sobriety and stuff like that. It's more of an accountability thing for me. Right. So I'm on the road now. I'm back in the game. And if people see me slipping, it's like, yo, you're all right? You know what I mean? Like, so now people know. So it's a way of keeping myself accountable. And yeah, that moment for me was everything. And I actually got to sit down and watch the documentary with her, and she saw it for the first time. And when it was done, another moment that I'll forever cherish, when it was done, she looked over at me and she goes, "Papi, I'm proud of you." And she was like, "I'm happy that I was able to save your life." So.
And you know, how old is she right now?
She's turning 10 years old.
She's 10 years old. So like right now, like I know kids nowadays, they're so much smarter, right?
Yeah.
But you know that down the line, it's going to be a thing. Like when she gets older and she understands the gravity of the situation a lot more, it's going to be something that is just like, it's like an ever bonding thing, I think, between you and your daughter, that you're forever going to have that.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And for her to know that, I needed a change for me, right? Like it starts with yourself. But for her to know that she was the driving force behind that, you know, it's a huge deal. And, yeah, man, she's special.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm so glad that you're on the other side of it now, because when you just get onto the part of addiction, it gets very dark. And, you know, I know this because I know, and I'm sure a lot of people watching have seen family members go through it. And some people have came out on the other side of it, thankfully, and unfortunately others have not. And so when you think of that dark time, and of course everyone's path and journey is different, if you had the chance right now to say something to anybody here that's either A, suffering with a loved one who is going through something similar, or B, is the person that is struggling, what do you say to that person right now that, I don't know, maybe or maybe not can help? Because I know sometimes when you're in that space, it takes something so profound, like your daughter writing that letter, to really break you out of it, to break out of it.
Yeah. I know it's like the cliche thing, but there's help out there. There's so much help out there. And you're not alone. You know, a lot of us, like when we're going through addiction and dealing with those things, like we feel that no one understands us, and that it's the most alone we feel because of the shame, because of the guilt. Like I grew up with a lot of addicts in my family. So me knowing that I was going through the same thing, I was very ashamed, because I was like, yo, I should know better. I grew up seeing this. I grew up seeing how addiction has destroyed, you know, members of my family. So why am I going through this? So, you know, you start to feel alone with a lot of things, but the fact of the matter is there's so many people that care about you and that love you. And of course you don't see it in the moment, but it's there, you know. It's, and everyone's rock bottom is different. For me, you know, seeing that letter from my daughter was my rock bottom. Like I knew, like, all right, this is it. I need a change or I'm going to lose my life. But yeah, everyone's rock bottom is different. And if you want to get better, you're going to get better. You know, you have to want it for yourself. Don't do it for anybody else other than you. Cause that's where it starts, right? If you go into it thinking, all right, I'm going to do it because this person wants it, or that person wants, it's not going to work. It has to come from within you, and put in the work. You know, if you want it, you'll make it happen. You hold the keys. You're able to change whatever you want about your life. And yeah, there's tons of help out there. Thankfully, you know, I was able to find a place that was, I mean, excellent. Like everyone I worked with was super caring, and they were all former addicts also. So they understood and they got it. And being in there for those 30 days changed my life. You know, I got to meet some special people that I still keep in contact with today. I'm part of a huge group chat with all the guys that I was in rehab with. And we all check in every single morning, and we all stay in touch with each other, keep each other in check. And yeah, I still go to meetings every month. And yeah, it's possible.
No, it definitely is. And I think sometimes people need to hear that, right? Because sometimes you feel like it's not possible. And you hear stories and people say, oh, you go for help and you're able to like get through it, but it's just so much harder than that. How long had you been dealing with this issue? And when did you, like, did you know you had, like, when did you realize you had a problem?
So it started on, like, you know, I dibbled and dabbled like throughout my life, right? I started, you know, with drinking and other substances when I was very young, a teenager, you know, experimenting or whatever. But, you know, throughout my life, it was always like an on and off thing. But I'd say when my dad passed away, January 1st, 2020, that's when it like, it was, cause a lot of the things that I dealt with in my life, I kept inside and I never dealt with. And, when my dad passed away, it was like, finally the soda bottle that I was shaking exploded. And that was a catalyst to that whirlwind that I went through, you know? And then, so my dad passed away January 1st, 2020, and then the pandemic happened, the world shut down in March, right? So I found out my dad passed away when I was at work at Daly's place. So I had to fly back to New York, deal with everything. And then I just took 2 weeks off and I went back on the road. And then pandemic happened, we were back at Daly's place. So every single week I was back at the place that reminded me of when I lost my father. So how I dealt with that, with, you know, numbing myself, sort of say. And that's how I was able to get through it. You know, just, I to this day hate Daly's place and hate Jacksonville, Florida, because it just reminds me of the day that I got the news and I had to rush out of there. So, but yeah, so after losing him, having to deal with the pandemic, world shut down, then going back to the same place where I got the news and being reminded of that day every week, plus dealing with my own internal personal stuff, everything just started snowballing. And it went from something that I was, all right, I'm just doing this on the road just to get by or whatever. But then I knew it was a problem when I had to start numbing myself when I got home, you know, and my body was already accustomed and already had gotten used to, you know, the drinking or whatever. So like I couldn't last more than a day or two without, you know, self-medicating because my body was already used to it. And that was like, all right, now I have a problem. And again, dealing with shame and dealing with guilt, I didn't speak about it to anybody. I was able to hide it. And then finally, when I got hurt, I'm home now. And by that point, I was already an addict, you know, and there was no way of hiding it anymore. And being out for days on end, you know, disappearing, that's when I was like, all right, yeah, it's an issue. Cause now like my body needs it. And yeah.
And I think it's, you know, I think sometimes like there's, you know, I think sometimes people are so afraid to ask for help, like you mentioned, because there's this guilt. And there's also this huge stigma because people that have never dealt with it or people that don't know about it, they see it and they're like, oh, he's just a drunk, or like some awful way of putting it, right? Without realizing, hey, this is actually a disease. And I don't think that until you're educated that this is a disease, that you look at it differently. And so what happens is that sometimes, you know, relationships, when you're going through something like this, they get messed up. Whether you have professional relationships or personal relationships, they get messed up because of it. I know you mentioned that in the documentary, you know, having some, you know, fallouts and whatnot or things happening. Have you been able to try to repair those just yet?
With the people that mattered, yeah. I mean, I'm thankful that the people closest to me who knew the real me knew that I was just in a very bad place. And I had all the support in the world, you know, and that's a huge thing to support. Thankfully, you know, my daughter's mom was a huge catalyst also in helping find a place for me to go to. My grandmother, my aunt, my uncle, like I had such a great support system, and I'm thankful that no one held anything against me. You know, I wasn't the type of addict that lashed out. I never, you know, I wasn't like a angry, you know, addict. You know, it was more I was hurting. I was just hurting myself. I just wanted to hurt myself. And but of course, as you know, anybody that is an addict, they don't realize that they're hurting the ones around you too, you know. And but again, I'm thankful to have a great support system and people who truly cared about me and that were willing to go above and beyond to get me the help that I needed. And also, like you said, understanding that it was a disease and understanding that I was going through so much and in such a like tight amount of time. And yeah, like I said, you know, addiction runs in my family. My father was an addict, and other members of my family. So it's a disease and it's hereditary from what we learned. So having all those things or having that knowledge was, you know, was huge. But yeah, I'm thankful that I've been able to repair whatever relationships that were damaged, and you know, life goes on, and I'm thankful, you know.
Yeah, I think that the big picture here is again getting to that other side, getting to the place where you are right now, and getting to find these things that are fulfilling, you know, your personal life, your relationship with your daughter, but then also being back in the pro wrestling ring. Now, I know we have to wrap up this interview. My final question for you is, you know, now that you're back out there and you're a singles wrestler now, it's a totally different journey from the last time that you were in TNA wrestling. How do you feel going out there now, you just being you and getting this moment to like shine on your own?
It's very liberating. It's very it's, you know, not taking away from anything that I've done as a tag team. We had a great run. We got to do a lot of great things together. But man, I'm having the most fun I've ever had in my career, honestly. Like, it's been such a good time, just being able to be creative. And now I'm representing myself, right? It's all on me now, which I love, and it drives me even harder and it motivates me even more. And I'm thankful for the journey, and I'm thankful for everything that I've done so far. And I'm excited for everything that I'm gonna do, you know, because I feel like I'm just getting started. I feel like I have a new lease on life and in my career in general, and I'm excited to see where it goes. You know, like the fact that when I left AEW, just how everything just picked up right away. I was so like drawn. I was like, man, I'm so thankful, right? Because of course, there's always that little doubt in the back of your mind. It's like, oh, are people gonna care? Are people gonna want to see me as a singles? And like, man, as you see, my schedule has been insane, and I've been on quite the run, and it's only gonna get better, you know. And I'm ready and willing to put in all the work. If anybody knows me, they know that everything that I do with passion and absolute like full force. So, yeah, man, I'm excited for the future, and let's get it.
I love it. Well, our time is up here, but I just want to say thank you so much for chatting with me. We can talk so much more. I mean, there's so much to get into, but I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today. And to everybody watching, of course, all of the links to follow Mike are going to be in the description box below, as well as where you guys can watch TNA. We appreciate you guys so much. Thank you so much for tuning into this interview, and we'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.